Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're listening to us. We thank you, we appreciate you. Today is Saturday, January 17th, 2015, about 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Right now you may be, right now I'm actually watching Duke win by at least, they're winning by 20 points right now with Louisville. So. But we're going to get to NBA talk, Chuck. It's been a lot of trades, been a lot of acquisitions in the NBA. Just this at the beginning of this year through these 17 days. And in specific, let's start off on the 5th of January. My guy, Deion Waiters was traded from the Cavs to OKC. Cavs, it was a three-team deal. Knicks were involved. Sent J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert to Cleveland. Like I said, OKC acquired Deion Waiters. The Knicks got Lance Thomas and, you know, waived Samuel Dalembert. Also, the Cavs get a protected first-round pick in that deal. So I think that worked out well for them. What else has happened? Also, the Cavs went to acquire – well, they spent two – so I guess one of the picks that they got, they ended up trading for Timothy Mozgov, center out of Denver, who actually played for Coach David Blatt overseas. Big guy, 7-foot center, could protect the rim. Let's see who else. Kenyon Martin signing, signed a 10-day contract with your Milwaukee Bucks this year, Chuck, and his former teammate, now coach, Jason Kidd. Also, the Suns acquired Brandon Wright, Big Ford. Who else? Let's see. Oh, how could I forget this? Okay, Austin Rivers. If you don't know who Austin Rivers is, he's the son of Doc Rivers, NBA's, you know, head coach, title-winning head coach. He was traded from New Orleans to LA Clippers. Also, Tayshaun Prince was involved in that deal. And Jeff Green was sent from Boston to Memphis. I think Tayshaun Prince talked a buyout with Boston. And also the Clippers waive Jordan Farmer. So over those, you know, that has all happened within the last 12 days. In real time. So, you know, obviously teams are on it. They're trying to get better for the second half of the year. Chuck, I mean, as far as these transactions that I just talked about, I mean, what stood out the most? What do you like the most? What team do you feel put themselves in a better position come April, May, June?
Well, I think Memphis made the biggest move and the move I was most happy with. I feel as though Jeff Green, he's a solid 3-4 player that he can stretch the floor and actually score. I feel Tayshaun Prince just couldn't score. And I feel as though you don't miss that much on the defensive end. I don't think Tayshaun Prince was the same type of defensive stopper that he once was. So in that aspect, you're also doing well. A lot of the other trades, I really don't know. I know you're happy Deion is in Oklahoma, OKC now. I saw him last night. He had 21. He had a real good game. I think it's a possibility that that trade works out, but I think that's a trade of desperation. That's a trade to say that OKC really sees that window closing and they feel as though if they don't make a run now, then it may be the last that they ever see of KD or Russell. So I feel as though if that one was a real gutsy one, and if it works, it's a great call. But if it doesn't, OKC could be really biting and hurting off of this in the long run. And lastly, the Cavs one, I don't really know how I feel about that. It looks, I don't know, man. The Cavs look so great on paper every time I look at them, and then you see them get on the floor, and then you just wonder what's wrong. They had a good game last night. Kyrie played very well. LeBron played well. But I don't know how many good nights they're going to have together for me to truly believe in them. So that one I'm going to hold and reserve some judgment on, but as of right now, I'm just on that one.
Yeah, I think I would agree with your pecking order. Memphis, that was a big pickup. Jeff Green could score the ball. You know, he could definitely stretch the floor. He can get inside. He could finish at the rim. And he has size. I think he's 6'10", 6'9", or 6'10". So, I mean, the thing with Tayshaun was, I mean, obviously, I would think you have him there for defensive purposes. But Memphis is a defensive team, and I think they just needed a little more. I like the trade that they made. You know, Tayshaun is, at this point, 11 years removed from that 04 championship. So, you know, it's hard to see a veteran go, but, you know, I believe he just got traded there last year or the year before, so it wasn't he wasn't a core player. But I definitely like what they did there. So, I mean, I'm not – yeah, I definitely will give kudos there. We'll have to see how it works out come playoff time, though. I don't think Jeff Green is too experienced with the playoff basketball as far as, you know, Memphis is, but I'm sure they'll get him just right. But, yeah, I like OKC's trade. Obviously, I'm, you know, biased because I'm a Deion Waiters guy. But, yeah, I like what they did. I mean, I think they're going to have to trade Reggie Jackson. He wants a contract that someone else is probably going to give him. I'm more than likely going to get him. And it's not going to be OKC. With Waiters, you have him at least for another full year.
Did you see Durant's comments that they're not going to baby him?
Yeah, I love that. I love the comments as well because it's just like, you know, when it comes down to contracts and things of that nature, that gets handled during the offseason. So I like what he said. I mean, it's about winning basketball games, and you should, you know, he also said that he comes to work. He's a professional, you know, so, they're not going to baby him. But seeing them play last night, I mean, we'll talk more about it, but they played a lineup where it was Russie, KD, Waiters, and Reggie Jackson with Ibaka or what was the other guy? Was Adams. Played with Adams, and they played really well. So, they would call all these players, some, not all of them, but maybe three of them selfish players. But I think, you know, they somewhat took that in consideration and played unselfish. So I really like how they played, you know, together with that lineup. So, yeah, I like OKC, what they did there, but I do think they have some more moving to do because I think they're going to get rid of Jackson. But for Cleveland, I think I agree with you totally. It's yet to be seen. I think their trades scream more desperation than OKC's to me. You know, they tried to, I guess, get a more of a wing defender, which is Iman Shumpert, and you also get a scorer in J.R. Smith, bench scorer, but there's a certain pecking order that I look at with Cleveland. It's like, you know, even when Waiters was there, it's like these guys, oh, it's my turn. It's my turn to shoot. I got to get my shot. And JR is just adding to that. Like, he wants his shots. Even though I feel like this first game there, he played very well. But the last two, I think he's been not shooting as well as he had. So I think that's going to be trouble. I like Mozgov for them, seeing that Varejao is out for the rest of the year. But, yeah, I think Cleveland screamed more desperation to me. That's yet to be – I hold, you know, reservation for that too. But I like the signing of Kenyon Martin in Milwaukee. I mean, obviously it's a 10-day contract. I think it'll, you know, probably get renewed. But, I mean, he's a veteran presence. You know, they could talk to some young guys. Obviously – Larry Sanders is going through whatever he's going through at the moment. He's not able to play. So, you know, my thing is I think they're, you know, I like Kenny Martin going to a rather good Milwaukee Bucks team, it seems like. So, also, general manager of the Blazers was extended to a multi-year contract. Throw that out there. But what about Austin Rivers, Chuck? Let's see what they gave up for him. I guess they just gave up Reggie Bullock, you know, in order to get Austin Rivers. I don't know if you saw him play last night, but I mean, what did you think about, you know, the coach bringing in his son?
I mean, I don't know. It's weird because I was big on Austin when he first came out of Duke, and he's really not. He really hasn't done anything to live up to anything. But the fact is, like, I've always said, new scenery for him could be good because he does have, I think, NBA-type skills at some times. Playing for your father is never a good deal, especially when your father is Doc Rivers, especially when you play your father is the coach of the L.A. Clippers and he's also the GM. You know, so
right.
It's all that other stuff that's there that makes this, I think, an iffy situation. If there's any other team, I'm like, oh, yeah, Austin Rivers, second chance. Let's see what – but here it's all – and, you know, like, I hear people say stuff like, oh, he's a hard person to play with. I mean, I don't know how true that is. You know, like, I think when people who aren't in locker rooms every day or people who are not around these players every day, it's easy to take out of context when someone says, oh, yeah, they blow me. It's like working at your job – and saying someone blows you. This is a job at the end of the day. Sometimes, yeah, people get on your nerves, but how bad are they really to work with? Are they just annoying because you don't like them because you not like them? So it's all these other things that I think play so much a bigger factor into his story that I don't know. I really don't know how to – I hope it works out, but I can see this going way more wrong than right for Austin Rivers.
Right. I can see it going either way as well. I guess they had to waive Farmar. They didn't have to waive Farmar because of that. I think they waived Farmar to sign Dante Jones, who was signed to a 10-day contract the other day. But, listen, the thing was he wasn't playing in New Orleans. Like, he wasn't getting a shot. In New Orleans, they have this thing where, New Orleans Pelicans, they have a top superstar who didn't play last night, and they end up losing to the Philadelphia 76ers by double digits. And it makes you wonder, really, about the Pelicans. And I don't want to knock the coach, but, I mean, he hasn't – I mean, obviously, I feel like he gets some praise that I haven't necessarily seen the reason to. I'm speaking of Monty Williams, but, I mean, I'm not going to knock him, or I'm not going to, knock the system. But the Pelicans aren't that good of a team, so – I mean, to see that he wasn't playing with playing with that team, it's kind of, you wonder a little bit, but they have so much tied up into guys like Eric Gordon, where they, if he comes back and he's playing, it's like, you're not going to play Austin Rivers because maybe he doesn't fit in your system. This is a different system, but I feel like, you're playing with your dad. I mean, not playing with your dad, but you're playing under your father now. It's a little more comfortable setting, you know what I'm saying, as far as the – it's a new system. It could go really wrong or it could go really well. I don't see him going incredibly wrong because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's their father or son. So the most you can do is just trade him and, possibly keep him, elsewhere. But I have no problem with the trade, though. I have absolutely no problem with the trade, seeing that he gave up Reggie Bullock. Reggie Bullock is not he's a veteran player, but he's not a – well-known commodity that you need. He took a guy that possibly had some upside potential, and I have no problem with that. That's my personal take on it. Could go wrong, could go well, but, he's under his dad, and I feel like a championship coach. I mean, he's not a star player, so he's not starting. Comes off the bench, so I feel like it could work out well. Some of these games, the one Chuck last night, was a good ball night on a Friday. Let's see here, the Magic, man, I see the Magic lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, but the Grizzlies improved to 28-11 now as they beat the Magic 106-96. Apparently Jeff Green led the team in points with 21. He also had a big fourth quarter. This was interesting. Like I said, Pelicans lost to the 76ers. No Anthony Davis last night, but still. The Nets blew out the Wizards in Washington by 22. Chuck, did you get any chance to look at that game? How do you feel about that period.
No, I didn't get a chance to look at the game, but I saw it come down on the ticker, and I said to myself, how did they lose by 20 to the Nets? And that's my thing. I think about the Wizards, I'm most concerned of. I'm more concerned that they're going to think that they are the second best team, or they have a running to be the best team in the East, and they're going to act like that, and they're going to play like that sometimes. And when they do that, they're going to get beat by teams because, let's be honest, I don't think they have a deep bench. I don't think after you get past the first five, maybe six players, that I'm scared to, you know, I'm scared of them as a threat. So I think the Wizards are very prone to lose games like that, and I don't know why I was surprised, but I think that's more of the Wizards team than more people are going to give them credit for.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised too, just looking at that. I mean, I think if you, you know, want to be this top caliber team that can get to the ECS and possibly the finals, you're supposed to beat teams like the Nets. So. At home, but I mean, we you know, can't win every night. So I think it was just one of those slip up games. Obviously, you're not gonna continue to lose to the Nets by 20 something points. But I think the next time they play, Wizards probably flip that score. Also, Bradley Beal, I saw you tweet about this. Yeah, he's been I don't want to say he's inconsistent, but I mean, he's a shooter. So shooters, sometimes they're going to make him, sometimes they're going to miss him, but I see teams are throwing their best defender at him as of lately, just to chase him around. But, you know, my thing is, as we have a caller now, Chuck, I see. But my thing is, we'll get to that caller in a second. But my thing is with them, with Bill at least, like, he has to be more consistent. Obviously, he's just in his, what is it, fourth year, Chuck? Third or fourth year, but
third
year. But I just need more consistency. I need him to make, you know, get open, or I need more out of Randy Whitman to run plays for him to get open. Because I mean, he can knock down the ball. He is your shooter. Like, he's very important to this team, and I'm not afraid to acknowledge that. And I feel like the coach just, you know, needs to get him back in the groove. He's a young guy. You know what I'm saying? Just run some plays for him, and I don't see that happening very often. Bulls snapped their little losing streak. They beat the Celtics in Boston.
Are you going to get the caller?
Yeah, I'm going to get to the call in a second. I'm just going to go through these games real quick. Pistons beat the Pacers last night by two. Late tip-in wins that game. The Hawks beat the heck out of the Raptors in Toronto. The Hawks are now 32-8 on the season, 16-5 on the road. So all you got, beware, he's the Eastern Conference. The Thunder still improved to one game under 500 now. They lost to the Warriors. They beat the Warriors 127-115. Just all around good game for the Thunder. Rusty did his thing. 15 rebounds, 17 assists, 17 points as well. KD with 36 points. Spurs, Kawhi Leonard returned. And leading scorer with 20, they beat the Trailblazers 110-96. Trailblazers can't seem to get over that Spurs hump. Chuck, let's see here. And the Cavs beat the Clippers in LA last night to improve the 21-20 on the year. And I'm about to bring in the caller now. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. What do you want to talk about, man?
I got a question, man. I don't know if you guys have touched on already, but do you believe in Phil Jackson and his philosophy so far?
Chuck, I'll let you take that first.
Well, I don't know, because I've never seen Phil in this predicament as the GM, as the brains behind it. I've seen him as the coaching of the players, but I've never seen him in this management role. So I like what he's doing, trying to clear house, trying to start fresh, get, you know, young players, cap space so he can maybe do some things, bring in some players. But I think it's still left to be seen. I still believe in Carmelo as a top 10, top 5 player in the league, and I feel as though if you put pieces around Carmelo that work for him, he can be back to being a really good player. I think everyone who was realistic knew this was going to be more than like a one. They weren't going to be just good next year. It was going to be a process. So I think we wait for Phil's to grade Phil in maybe 2 to 3 years when he's clear out and he's had a chance to have a summer with cap space.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Knicks, they hired him for a position that he's never been in, and, you know, he's having to deal with, you know, anyone dealing with a new position that they're in. But, I mean, he's a basketball guy. I think he is going to get the right pieces, but I didn't expect him to do it within, 6 to 7 months of him being hired. So I think, you know, Knicks fans just have to be patient. You know, you're probably going to try to get Okafor this year. That's probably the plan. Amari coming off the books, that's $20 million a year. So, Bargnani coming off the books next year as well. So, I'd at least got to give him to Phil around this time next year to declare if I, you know, think he's doing the right things. But, I mean, what do you feel about Phil yourself?
New York Knicks basketball till I die.
I understand that. I feel that. So, I mean, you guys have, you know, the shot, the opportunity to, you know, get to the, you know, playoffs, back in the playoffs. But it's not going to be this year. Maybe not next year, but I definitely see a better team next year. Just watching the highlights
Honestly, I feel that this is the horrible time to do this. Because with the new TV deal coming up, this is the worst time to be down 60% in ratings right now. That's my problem with the Knicks right now. You can't do this right now.
Right, but, I mean, the Knicks, like, they're always going to be a factor as far as NBA, like NBA talk. They're always going to be a factor because they're in New York. They play at the Garden, things of that nature. You got Melo, but, I mean, they're just not really good. The problem was, you know, before Phil got there. So, I mean, he's trying to adjust. I don't think that's going to affect. And when the Knicks are good, people love the Knicks. They're going to be on TV a lot. But just watching them play over in London the other day, I didn't recognize half of the guys that were out there. It's a bad year. It's tough. It's tough to deal with. I understand. I'm an Orlando Magic fan. You know, rebuilding, it's a tough thing to deal with. But I believe in Phil. I think he'll get the job done as long as, like, Dolan doesn't step in or anything. But I'm not sure about the coach that Phil hired, though. First-time coach, Derek Fisher. It's kind of hard to coach, you know, veteran guys that just saw you, you know, a year and a half ago playing, or not even a year and a half ago. Just saw Derek Fisher playing last May. So, I mean, I think that's a difficult transition. I'm not sure that the coach is going to be there forever, but yeah, I mean, more hope to you, my man. I'm very sorry about your Knicks this year.
I'm a Knicks Mets Jets fan, so everyone wants to know about the Sixers.
The 76ers are they won. They're on a winning streak. They're on a winning streak. The 76ers. I like the Sixers as far as what they're going to build. Embiid's not there yet, but you know he's going to get there.
I heard the Sixers got Michael Carter Williams on the trading block.
Apparently so, but I've been hearing he's on the trading block since last year's draft. So, you know, they got him out there.
I'm saying if he ever gets traded, then that lets me know that the Sixers are not about winning. They're about doing whatever business that they have with, you know, new management and ownership. He's a bona fide, I don't want to say star, but a guy who could be an intricate part to a winning, very good team. Basketball is one of the few sports where you only need one, two players to actually be good, to actually have a chance at winning, making runs. Uh-huh. And if Michael Carter Williams
is a good GM,
I think the Sixers, as far as management moves and picking players, they have tons of cap space. They have a great young talent. Apparently, we haven't seen Embiid play. You know, Nerlens is coming off of a surgery. But I think Carter Williams is that focal point. And as long as he's there, he's going to keep growing and becoming one of these upper echelon point guards. If you put the pieces around him, it could go anyway. But I don't know. I'm not sold yet that the Sixers are fully committed to doing that.
Yeah, I don't like them having Carter Williams on the trade block. I think he's a very nice piece. You know, tall, lengthy, can fill up the stat sheet. So just watching last night, he filled it up. So If they trade him, I don't know exactly where the direction the team is going, but
listen, with the position
we're
in right
now,
position the Sixers are in right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, in 2 years, we're going to be pretty tough because we got Embiid, Noel, Michael Carter. You got a nice background, a nice bench that could be a bench if we sign a couple players. We got all this cash space. You got 20 million in cash space? Like, all you got to do is bring somebody to Philly, you know what I'm saying? And once Embiid come back, y'all think you're not going to be a beast. You know what I'm saying? Embiid and Noel is a nice front court to start with. You know what I'm saying? And then you got Michael Carter Williams. You bring another free agent in, you know what I'm saying, a shooting guard. I don't know who. But you bring a, you know, nice front court in. We already got a bench established. It's a wrap. And we got a good coach. And Brett Brown's a good coach. We can stamp beat the Spurs.
Yeah, I like Brown.
I like
Brett Brown.
He's definitely a good coach. Like, if the Knicks had Brett Brown, they'd be a better team.
I agree with that. But my thing is with the Sixers, they have to, you know, really get it right. And Michael Carter Williams is that guy. If anything, as far as, you know, people you're looking to trade, it'll probably be one of those big guys between Noel and B. But obviously you can't trade him B because he's hurt. But.
And my thing is that the guy, they have a few foreign players, you know, that they have out there that the kid that they just got in this draft that they who hasn't come over yet. So it's just like, they even have other pieces that they're holding on to. So I think, like I said, the jury is still out. It's still many things to be seen with the Sixers. But until, I don't think having Carter Williams on the trading block is good for morale. For people to think, you know, this is a young team, to think that their best player is on the trading block, how does that work for the rest of, you know, that's how I'm looking at it. What does that do for him if every night he thinks that this could be his last night in Philadelphia? You know, I'm looking at it from that standpoint. So, I mean, like I said, I think the Sixers could be good. The jury's just left out. You know, the jury's just still out on them for me.
Hello?
Yeah.
Say that one more time.
Well, I mean, my thing is on the Sixers, I just think they're, you know, they have to get another wing player to, you know, come with Carter Williams, and that's probably, first of all, they still have Jason Richardson on the roster. Who's your best wing?
A good bench wings, you know what I'm saying? Then we got the dude coming over here from, what is it, Croatia or something? He's like supposed to be the best player over there. He's coming over here, you know what I'm saying?
But he probably won't come until you guys are a factor.
We got the next Spurs front court. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got a nice point guard if they do keep Michael Carter. But if they do get him, give him up, I'm pretty sure we're going to get something pretty nice then. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you can't, like, downplay that, like, the fact that his trade value is pretty high, you know?
I think you have a potential all-star point guard in very early in his career. I watched him get a triple-double live. So if you let him go, it's just like, oh, well, you're literally restarting all over again. So your 2 to 3 year span now becomes 4 to 6, and I'm not sure they want to do that. I mean, maybe they do, but I think that overall, they just, you got to build a mob, and I mean, that takes time. So right now, they have 3 guys, possibly 4. I like Walton, but possibly 4. But you know, guys just have to, you know, keep building free agency. I mean, obviously, I like where they're at, but also Andre Kirilenko, man, is he gonna get over there or not?
One last question I have for you. Now it was isn't a short list so far. We haven't that much film on it yet, I guess. But with Popovich outside of Jack Vaughn, do you see this being the wave of the future for the NBA? That we seen the way the Spurs won the championship last year, the Hawks are playing right now. Is that the future?
I think so. I mean, guys are.
That's not the future. NBA is a star-driven league. Like I said, it's the only sport where 1 to 2 players make a complete difference. With people like LeBron still playing, listen, superstar players will be superstar players. Yes, you have to put pieces around them. The thing about teams a lot of times is they don't necessarily pieces around. The Knicks example, if you put the right pieces around Carmelo, he could be a very dangerous player. But to put people who do basically do the same thing as him, trying to take the same shots as him with the same space as him, what good does that do to him as a talent? LeBron is one of those special people where a lot of things around him and good things can happen. For the majority of these people, it's putting the right pieces around them. As long as teams continue to put the right pieces around Andrew Wiggins, for example, if Minnesota is ever able to put the right pieces around him, he would be a stud. It would be one of the dominant teams. Look at Steph Curry and Golden State right now. The pieces are around Steph Curry, and he's flourishing.
Right, but I think with as far as championship basketball, though, Chuck, I mean, obviously you could argue that with Rusty and KD, they didn't have the right guys around them, but they seem to can't get over the hump, and they're two of the best 10 to 12 players in the league.
But let's look at the history of the NBA, Kobe and Shaq, Michael and Jordan. The Spurs are the outliers.
Phil Jackson.
Okay, well, the superstar players. I mean, the Spurs are the outlier if we're truly looking at how this game works. I think that if you give superstar players everything, good coaching, that's what I mean about putting stuff around them. Good coaching is all part of that. These all things play a factor in how good teams are. If you put Scott Brooks, who can't fucking call a suitable offensive play in crunch time, yeah, your star players can't do too much.
Right. I mean, but the reality of that is, though, Chuck, that's not always going to happen. They're not going to get those coaches. They're not going to get those right
exactly,
players.
But you are going to get a bunch of role players who can actually buy into their roles and play very well, like the Spurs and the Hawks. But
that's what I'm saying.
But it's more so likelihood that a star player in that sport can do it.
Definitely. Star players usually win them,
sure.
But, I mean, we're just
sure.
talking about rings. It all goes Phil Jackson, Popovich.
The one team that was able to beat Miami was the two types of teams that were able to beat Miami was a team and a team that had the best player on the court. It could work both ways, but I think that, me personally, the superstars is how this game has normally gone and how I think it will probably tend to keep going.
I mean, I agree. I think star players, obviously, they're the guys who are, you know, more likely to win the championships. But it's just how I see the NBA now. I think those guys can be beaten. It's proven with the guys like LeBron, with the Spurs that beat Russie and KD. I mean, you have to have all the right pieces, but teams don't always have the right pieces, and that's what stops them. But we thank the callers for calling today. We appreciate you, and we are out. Sports Opinions with Chuck and Pete. Thank you. We appreciate you. And we're out.